Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning and welcome to The Tim Meisberg Show, but you don't have Tim Meisberg this morning. You have Paul Santos filling in. Very happy to be here today. Always enjoy filling in here at WBSM. Welcome in as we close in on the weekend. And as you heard the newsman say, it is pretty chilly out there this morning. It was a very balmy 28 degrees on the way in, but that's the wind chill factor that makes all the difference in the world. Feels much colder than that, but that's the way it is. We're in December now here in New England. High temperature today only going to be in the low 30s. I had it down as 33 as the high temperature today. And actually, tomorrow is going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty nice with kind of similar to today, sunshine and high temperature about 37, maybe a little bit warmer. But then I hate to say it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of goes downhill. But at least tomorrow looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day. So welcome in. Happy Friday. We head into the weekend. A lot of people have commented how there's such a small period of time this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holiday season in general. And that is definitely true because Halloween was on that Thursday. The first Friday of November wasn't until that Friday. So the third Thursday in November wasn't until just, you know, obviously about a week ago, whatever it was. So now the difference between the time we generally have between Thanksgiving and Christmas and the time we have this year is just so short. So it's just creeping right up on us. Hopefully you've got your Christmas shopping at least started a little bit and you're working your way toward the holiday. Hey, we got a great show for you today. If you'd like to join in the discussion, of course you know, 508-996-0500. Call me up, say, hey, good morning, Santos. Welcome in. Glad to have you filling in. We are at 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, as you know. Had a couple of things I thought we might discuss. And I'm going to start with the light topic first, right? And then I've got some other things to talk about as well. But I thought I wanted to ask you a question this morning, right? Seeing as how we are closing in on the season to shop. And, of course, you don't have to run around the malls anymore. Most people, you click a couple of buttons and all of a sudden the present shows up at the front door, right? And you can use Amazon or you can use different digital ways to get presents to the house. And I think people are really taking advantage of that. You don't see the mobbed malls anymore. But I want to ask you a question, right? Think back to when you were a kid, right? All the way back to when you were a kid, or maybe not even when you were a kid. Maybe any time in your life, right? What was the favorite Christmas present that you ever got, right? Think back now. You must have got a Christmas present probably as a kid, maybe as an adult, but I'm thinking probably mostly as a kid. What was the favorite one you ever got? Now, I'm going to tell you one after the first break that I got, and I'm going to drop a few in as the morning goes along just to see what you think about some of these presents. But I got to tell you, when I tell you what they are, it's going to date me big time. It's going to date me big time because the stuff that they have now, right? We got a couple of grandchildren and they're still very young. My oldest grandson, Samuel Santos, he is going to be 2 in February. My beautiful granddaughter, Summer, is 3 months old. So they haven't got to the point where they get the big time presents yet. A lot of their presents are very small, little kid type presents. But boy, the presents have changed, haven't they? The stuff that you got years ago compared to the stuff that they have now. Now, they've been saying that for years with technological advances and the ability of the toy companies to make better and better products over the years has produced some products that are so superior to what we have, it's not even funny. But there are some that are timeless. There are some that are timeless. I ran into one the other day, and I was thinking, wow, this thing's been around forever. I can't believe it's still around. So let me know what your favorite present was, and we can talk a little bit about that. And then I think the other thing, too, is, as an offshoot of that, what's the biggest difference between Christmas when you were a kid and now? There are a lot of big differences, right? Not only the technological advances of the quality of the presents, but how about the close family time? You think it's a little bit different in terms of what's emphasized, too much on how much you spend and what are you going to get and all this kind of stuff, as opposed to the good quality time with family and friends? And do you have a particular memory that happened around the holidays that you did, maybe something different that you did? And then I want to ask you, too, how about television specials? Remember when you were growing up, they used to have all these TV specials? Now, I came across one. They had it on NBC, the tree lighting. Okay, I think Mike Bublé may still do his. But when I was a kid, it was just like one Christmas special after another on television. And people actually look forward to them, right? Every year it was the celebrity so-and-so that had their Christmas special, and celebrity so-and-so had their Christmas special. And on it went. That's totally different. You know, because the attention span, and I'm the first one to say I'm guilty of it, our attention spans are so short now that, you know, just to sit down and watch something for an hour, that's almost like a lot to ask. So, you know, there's been a lot of changes over the years, so I thought we might chat a little bit about that. Also, there's something interesting I saw in the news, right? The New Bedford Police Department, right? Speaking of technological advances, you know what they're doing in order to sharpen up in their training? And of course, you want the police officers to have the best training so that they can protect us as best they can. But the New Bedford Police have been testing a new virtual reality training system. So I'm thinking, oh my God, what is it? The New Bedford Police are on Call of Duty? What's this all about? But yes, apparently, if you put the virtual reality headset on and you look through those things, it does feel like you're really there. And then they have the pistol, and they present situations that police officers may encounter in dangerous situations. In fact, police officer Scott Carolla, who I know very well, interviewed him a number of years back, is also, I think, involved in art and so forth. Well, he was demonstrating that, and there was actually a simulated firearm that the police officer would have in the virtual reality training system at New Bedford Police Headquarters. This is happening out there at Rockdale Avenue. So I don't know what it costs to have a virtual reality training system. I guess the question would be, is it so expensive that it's not worth it? Or is it reasonably priced to the point where, you know, this could be of benefit to an officer? Because I know the trainings always used to be out in the field. They would go out in the field and do simulated challenges, whether it be a hostage situation, an emergency situation. They would actually go out there and duplicate it in order for the police officers to be trained right there in the field. But virtual reality training, I've never heard of such a thing. I'd have to ask the police officers the next time I'm down in court, which I am in court a couple of days a week. Folks probably know I'm an attorney. I'm going to speak to a couple of the police officers and say, hey, tell me the story about this virtual reality training system here. This is pretty good. You know, I mean, my kids would probably say, yeah, what's wrong with that? They grew up on video games and the like. So perhaps it is something that can be helpful to the police. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. And then I wanted to mention to you something that I have some concern about, and I'm wondering what you think about this. The state of Massachusetts is pondering 3 marijuana social consumption licenses. This would allow people to use marijuana in public social settings. And the Cannabis Control Commission indicated on Monday, according to an article in the New Bedford Standard Times, that they are confident that a 2022 law and the conversations they've had with businesses, other regulators, municipalities, and law enforcement will put them in a position to succeed. So this is interesting because it seems kind of funny now to look back at it, because there was a time where smoking cigarettes in a restaurant and the desire to remove that so smoking is not allowed in restaurants, that was controversial. So it went from anybody could smoke anywhere in the restaurant to they had to be smoking sections in a restaurant to you can't smoke at all in a restaurant. So I'm thinking, if you're going to have marijuana cafes where you can go in there and smoke marijuana, which I'm not sure that's a good idea in the first place, but I guess I could be persuaded. You're going to have food in there? And if you're going to have food in there, why can't somebody smoke a cigarette in another restaurant then? So I think you can open up a whole problem, because I got to tell you, I think it was a good idea. You think back about it now, again, it was controversial. It's kind of like requiring seatbelts. Sometimes you just have to get together as a group of people, which we are. We're supposed to be self-governing. And we say this is of all of our benefit to have no smoking in a restaurant. It's to all of our benefit to have seatbelts. And so if you bring these marijuana cafes in, you are allowing smoking inside of a building. Now the question is, you're going to have food in there. So the people who have the marijuana cafes are going to say, why can't we have food in the marijuana cafe if the people coming to the marijuana cafe agree that you can have food and marijuana at the same time? And actually, if you have marijuana, you're going to want to have food, right? So I think it opens up a lot of different issues that are going to have to be confronted. I think it's interesting how it can be navigated. And I'm just wondering what people think about marijuana cafes. Boy, I'll tell you, I started my career as a prosecutor in the district attorney's office. And people would get arrested, as you know. Everybody knows that anyway. You don't have to be in the courts. But I can remember people getting arrested for marijuana. And, you know, it was treated just like any other serious drug. Maybe not quite as much. There were certain levels. You had Class D, which is marijuana was Class D. And then you had Class B, which was cocaine and crack and the like. It's still the case. And then Class A, you get into the heroin and the fentanyls and those types of drugs. So marijuana was always considered a little bit less than those, but people were still prosecuted for it all the time, you know. And then we went from that to, okay, we're going to kind of put up with it. We're going to deal with it. That's fine. I think people that want to use it should be able to. Then it was like, well, in the privacy of your own home, well, wait a minute, only if it's a certain amount. Now we're going to open up a cafe. So I don't know. It's a slippery slope. You just keep going down the slope. And so, you know, at some point you have to say, what's going to be of benefit to society? Should we do that? Should we not do that? And then I would say the big thing is, right, they have to figure out a way to be able to prosecute operating under the influence of marijuana. Because you can prosecute operating under the influence of alcohol because, you know, a police officer can get on the stand and say, hey, I can tell the person smelled of alcohol, the person had glassy eyes. You offer the breathalyzer. If they fail the breathalyzer, you know that they have a blood alcohol content. And those laws have been tightened up over the years. The highway deaths and the road deaths for operating under the influence plummeted after the rules got more strict. Well, with marijuana, you know, you don't have the breathalyzer. You don't have any way of checking the person out other than the police officer's testimony. And, you know, a lot of times that's not enough to prove a case. So it's not that, you know, if you do want to allow people to have marijuana cafes, you've got to be able to make sure that they're capable of operating a motor vehicle safely so that we can all be safe. So what do you think about that? I want to hear about the marijuana issue. I want to hear about perhaps what your favorite Christmas present was. I'm going to give you a couple of the Christmas presents that I recall from when I was a kid. And I think the first one is kind of laughable when you think about the technological advances that we've had over the past few years. I mean, things have changed so much for the better, but, you know, sometimes not for the better. But in this particular case, I don't know if it's for the better or not for the better. It's just when you compare what we had back then to what we have now, it's just kind of a humorous comparison. Well, welcome to the final day of the work week. It's a Friday. It's Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg. We'll be back in a moment right here at WBSM.
Happy holidays.
You can tell I've been around for a while when I actually like hearing Andy Williams Christmas songs. For some reason, I like that song. Happy Holiday, Happy Holiday. Well, welcome in. It's Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. And actually, you know, I was mentioning before, what was your favorite TV show as a kid having to do with Christmas, right? So somebody might say, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That was my favorite, you know. And I still see that they show Frosty the Snowman with Jimmy Durante in the background. I think he was narrating Jimmy Durante, an old-timer from way back before my time. I think I remember him as a little kid coming on some of those television shows. Well, anyway, Andy Williams, he had a Christmas special every year that people used to look forward to. And I don't think they have those anymore. They don't. 508-996-0500. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg this morning. We've got news at the bottom of the hour with Phil Devitt as usual. And then we'll pick it up on the other side. But I wanted to ask you about your favorite Christmas present that you had growing up, or maybe your favorite Christmas present that you ever got. So I'm going to throw one at you that's going to date me, right? If I go back to when I was a kid, right, one of the favorite gifts that I got as a kid, okay, are you ready for this one? Walkie-talkies. You're going to say, walkie-talkies? Anybody who's older remembers walkie-talkies, right? So when you think about it now, compared to the cell phones and the iPhones and all this other stuff, this was about as primitive as you can get. For anybody that's on the younger side, it was just like, you know, you push a button, you speak, the person on the other side would hear it. Then you'd have to say over to make sure that the other person knew you were done speaking. So it was kind of like, hey, Bob, this is Paul, over. Okay, Paul, this is Bob, over. You know, you go back and forth like that. And, you know, you go maybe like, I don't know, one house next door. If you had a friend that lived next door, you could talk on a walkie-talkie. Then after that, you couldn't get him. It would be, you know, it would be out of range already. So that was a popular present at the time. So I got walkie-talkies. So there were two of them. You had to buy them in pairs. People in the neighborhood got them. So before you know it, all the kids in the neighborhood had walkie-talkies, and we would ride our bikes around, and we would be able to communicate with each other and say, hey, we're going to have a baseball game down here, or hey, let's all meet over there. Let's go do something at the bottom of the street or whatever it was. And that's how we communicated on these walkie-talkies, right? And I thought it was the coolest thing at the time. Now, this would have been early 70s, I would say. So this is a long time ago. So when I think about this computer that I have in my pocket, right? I'm walking around with this computer that can tell me anything at any time, at any moment, play any music at any time. And back then, it was like around a walkie-talkie. And you had to, like, take the antenna and extend it to get good reception, right? So you have the walkie-talkie with the antenna extended out, and you're like, can you hear me? And it'd be like, and there would be interference, and there'd be static. It would be like when you put the television on, you had the rabbit ears for people that go back that far and remember that. So you look back now and you see, wow, that was a big present at the time. So that was an interesting one. And then the other thing that I really liked, and this is still around now, here's one that was big then, and I couldn't believe that it was still around now. And that is the Etch-A-Sketch. Okay, how many people had the Etch-A-Sketch, right? So it was red, and it had the sand, and you had the control button on the bottom right, and you had the control button on the bottom left, and you could actually get pretty good at drawing stuff. I used to be able to write my name in cursive with an Etch-A-Sketch. I could draw stuff on that thing. I got pretty good at it. It was fun. And then, you know, if you messed it up, you just shook it and then you could start again. That thing is still around. And I was surprised because, you know, they have all this, you know, we talked about virtual reality, the police officers training with virtual reality. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, the Etch-A-Sketch somehow survived. I think it's because it's different. It's like a hands-on thing. I think probably kids that are younger could play with that. Maybe if the parents were trying to limit what they call time on social media, not social media, but, you know, FaceTime on the internet and on devices and screen time. The parents will say, oh, you got to limit the kids' screen time. So you let them play with like hands-on items, hands-on materials. So I think that's, you know, something that's a good idea. I know my daughter-in-law and my son, they like having the grandkids limit their time on devices like television or even, you know, kid internet stuff that they have, which is good for them, and, you know, focus on the hands-on toys and interactions with the grandparents and the parents and the other kids. And I think that's a good thing. I think there's plenty of time to be introduced to the social media and the internet. But I think we may have lost something there, too. You know, back in the day, we had the toys that you had and the things that you had to play with, so different than what they have now. So I'm just wondering what one of your favorites might have been. For me, it was the walkie-talkie and the Etch-A-Sketch so far. But I got some other things on the list that you might find interesting. But first, let's go to our news with Phil Devitt right here on 1420 WBSM.
The Matt Gaines.
Of the 9/11 attacks. There were no Secret Service agents at his side, but the acting director was in the frame. There was the suggestion that he was grandstanding. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, is based on common sense. Speaking before a meeting with DOGE leaders Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, Johnson said government's too big, it does too many things, and it does almost nothing well. He said there's an enormous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, and that DOGE will investigate that and lay it bare for the American people to see. And Moana 2 is expected to take first at the box office this weekend. The animated sequel is expected to bring in around $60 million in its second outing. Meanwhile, Wicked set to make near $32 million, while Gladiator 2 projected to make over $15 million, both in their third weekends.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics host the Milwaukee Bucks at TD Garden tonight at 7:30. Boston Bruins host the Philadelphia Flyers Saturday at 1. Patriots return December 15th to play the Arizona Cardinals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's going to be a cold day. It's going to be a windy day. Bitterly cold even. So bundle up if you're headed outside. High temperatures only getting into the low to mid-30s here on the South Coast. But with that wind, it'll feel more like the 20s. The weekend, we begin a gradual warm-up, but not by much. A mix of sun and clouds on tap for Saturday. Temperatures still in the 30s. On Sunday, we hit the 40s. Chance for a quick snow shower, but that's in and out if it happens. Mostly sun and clouds. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
When it comes to holiday music, you can't go wrong with the classics, Nat King Cole and the Christmas Song. You know, you can sing Jingle Bells and Santa Claus is Coming into Town and all that, which is great, which is fine. I like it, but the classics, Nat King Cole, the Christmas Song, one of my favorites to get us into the holiday spirit. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg, 6:35 in the morning. It was 28 degrees when I came in here this morning. It's right around there now. High temperature today will reach about 33, and that's about it. Tomorrow, the temperatures will go up to about 37 with some sunshine, so that's actually pretty good news. And tomorrow, actually, right here in New Bedford, they have the tree lighting going on, right? So that's a nice event to go to. And it's not going to be really cold, you know. It's going to be probably in the 30s, so you'd have to obviously dress up warmly. But the event takes place tomorrow about 5 o'clock. And then they have the tree lighting right after that, follows at about 6 p.m. If you want to go to the event, you should arrive somewhere around 4:30 to try to get a good viewing spot. There are plenty of good spots along the parade route, however, for the tree lighting. Pleasant Street is going to be closed to vehicles, providing a straight sight line to the tree. There's some great viewing spots along the sidewalk right in front of the New Bedford Art Museum, or on Pleasant Street directly in front of the library. Parking meters will not be enforced during the event, and both the Elm Street and Zeiterian parking garage will be open free of charge. So an opportunity to go down, be part of the community. A lot of people come out. I know it's a little chilly, but, you know, you just have to dress warmly, that's all. That's the only difference with the cold, is that you have to make sure you're prepared. If you wear, you know, the proper clothing, you layer up, you put the, you know, the hood on, it's not that bad. You can handle it, right? All right, so we got a couple things here. I noticed the legislature, the state, is pondering 3 marijuana social consumption licenses. Wondering what you think about that. I think we ought to slow it down a little bit. I think we're going a little bit too fast. I think it's all fine that, you know, people smoke marijuana out in the open, although you do smell it a lot. And I don't mind walking down the street and smelling marijuana, but, you know, if you're walking down the street with your 2-year-old grandson and marijuana keeps blowing in your face, you know, you're not choosing to ingest the smoke. But if it's outside, it doesn't really bother me too much. But as far as opening up social consumption places where you can actually go there and participate in a marijuana cafe, I don't know. I think we're going a little bit too fast with this, especially where you've got to be able to make sure that people are operating their motor vehicles safely. That's the key thing. Because I know from being a prosecutor and being an attorney, it's easier to prosecute somebody for operating under the influence of alcohol than it is for operating under the influence of marijuana. So I think they would have to make an adjustment on that. I think they would have to make it easier to determine the, say, alcohol content of the THC that's in the system of the person driving, only because you just want all of the rest of us to be safe. Just like we don't want somebody under the influence of alcohol weaving down the road and putting all of us in danger, we certainly don't want people under the influence of marijuana weaving down the road and putting the rest of us in danger. And I think people who smoke marijuana, they're actually able to go under the radar screen a little bit better than somebody who's drinking alcohol. We've cracked down on the alcohol operating under the influence. So it's just a question of, what are we going to do with the marijuana? Are we going to be able to prosecute the marijuana consumer who actually drives their motor vehicle under the influence, right? So that's an issue that I think needs to be addressed. But what do you think? Should we be opening marijuana cafes already? I mean, it's just a few years ago, I think Colorado was the first state that actually decriminalized marijuana. And now the steps are being taken to do it nationally. And I think President Biden was in favor of doing it naturally. I'm not sure what President-elect Trump's view is on that. Maybe leave it up to the states, but I don't know what his position is. But as far as you know, moving things along, like, you know, to go from it's illegal and you're going to be arrested to, okay, you can have a small amount on you. Well, okay, we're not going to stop you on the street to, okay, we're going to open up a cafe. You know, it seems like it's moving along pretty quickly. And it's not that I'm against somebody's individual right to make that decision for themselves, but you just want the rest of us to be safe. You don't want somebody weaving down the road under the influence of marijuana. So that is really an issue that I think would need to be addressed. Also, favorite Christmas toys that you ever got, or maybe not even a Christmas toy, but favorite Christmas present that you ever received, right? I just mentioned the walkie-talkie and the Etch-a-Sketch. There was another one that I got that I don't know if anybody's going to remember it. I don't know if anybody's going to remember this one because this one really dates me. Yeah, I'm going to give you that one in a couple of minutes. Another favorite present that I was very fortunate to get when I was a kid that I really enjoyed. And when, you know, when you actually ask yourself, what did I get compared to what these kids get? What a difference. What a difference. You're listening to Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Good morning. Welcome to your Friday here at WBSM. Love Christmas music, but not all Christmas music all the time. One of my favorites, the Great Earth, Wind, and Fire. Paul Santos in for Tim this morning here at 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM. It's going to be a decent day today. A little on the chilly side. High temperature about 33, but we are going to experience sunshine, which is good. The only thing is it's a little windy, and so that drops the wind chill factor down into the 20s. So it's definitely noticeable because we did have a really nice fall and a really mild fall, so then now you're going into December and feels like this cold weather is creeping up. But hey, that's to be expected at this time of the year. We're closing in on winter. We're in late fall right now. Winter, of course, beginning in the, I want to say, was it December 21st? The 22nd is the first day of winter. Forgive me for not knowing the actual day. And I don't know, we'll have to see what kind of winter we're going to have. Of course, you get into January, February, that's when we have all that snow. Hopefully we don't have a bad year. We haven't had one of those really bad years in a long time. So hopefully we'll have a mild winter this year. But anyway, we're talking a little bit about some Christmas stuff because I thought it was interesting comparing what we got when we were kids compared to what is out there now in terms of presents, you know. For example, when I was a kid, the presents were much different than they are now. So did you have a particular favorite? I mentioned when I was a kid, we thought it was such a cool thing just to get walkie-talkies so we could communicate with our friends around the neighborhood, riding the bikes around and stuff. And then when you think about it now, it's like, wow, really? It was a big deal just to have a walkie-talkie. I mean, now with the technology we have now with the cell phones, even the flip phone was a big thing after that, you know. But compared to the walkie-talkie with the antenna sticking out, I mean, you must have had walkie-talkies. How many people out there had walkie-talkies? That's the number one thing. The second thing is, we had this thing, the Etch-a-Sketch. I know you know about the Etch-a-Sketch. The thing that was surprising about the Etch-a-Sketch was that people still have it now. It's still a popular toy now. So there was one that survived all the technological advance as opposed to, you know, it was big then, but obviously nobody's going to buy a walkie-talkie now, I don't think. I haven't seen them. I don't know why somebody would buy them. I guess if you're a really small kid, maybe you would horse around with them, but you know, we were like probably early middle school age, you know, probably 11, 12 years old. There's no reason for somebody that age to have a walkie-talkie. And then one year I got this bizarre thing. I got this bizarre gift. It was called the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to remember this thing. You sat there with one thumb on one button and one thumb on the other button, and then the person sat on the other side, same thing. And then you just keep throwing punches with these plastic robots. And if you hit the other robot in the head would pop up and it would buzz. I go, bzz, okay, you knocked out the other person. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And I actually got this thing. So you'd be playing bang, 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 bang. Eh, you know, the head would pop up. Then you pop the head back in and do it again. And that was it. That was the whole toy. Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But I don't think it lasted that long. I think it was one of those things that was like a flash in the pan present. Just kind of came up and that was about it. It was a flash in the pan. So There must be a present that you got either as a kid or as an adult that's kind of different or memorable. And by the way, were the holidays different for you then than they are now? In other words, you compare you as a kid. I don't care if you're 30 years old, 40 years old, 50, 60, 70 years old. It's definitely different, say, today than it was when you were a kid. What was the biggest difference? Was it that you spent more time with family? Was there less emphasis on the toys? Were the families closer? Were there less disagreements? There seems to be a lot of disagreements amongst families more now than there used to be. I don't know. That's just what it feels like. And the other thing is, was there a particular favorite Christmas special they used to watch on television, right? They used to have, boy, it was a big thing when the Andy Williams Christmas special came up every year. Oh, God, Andy Williams Christmas special. Here we go. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Dean Martin is going to have his Christmas special. Oh, boy, right? Because back then, you know, there wasn't the internet. There wasn't us looking at our phones. There wasn't social media. There wasn't us connecting in that way. It was like you sat around the television as a family, or maybe not as a family. I don't know. You put on one of these shows and that was it. You watched it and it was like a big deal. I remember even the Osmond brothers had their own Christmas special and it was a big deal. I remember my vavoa would be like, oh, we got to see Andy Williams, you know, and every year was the same thing. And him and his wife would pretend they were happy, but they weren't happy at all. It was all phony. but, you know, that's what the way it was back then. That was a big difference compared to now. Now, I know Bublé had a Christmas special. I know they had the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center, and I thought that was really good. I thought the tree lighting at the Rockefeller Center, I was watching some of that a little bit, thought that was pretty good, always well done, always enjoyable. So, you know, things have definitely changed over the years, and I'm just curious how different things are for you as opposed to how they were some time back. So, 508-996-0500 if you'd like to say hello. I'm just trying to see where I am in these commercial breaks over here. Looks like we got one more to go before the top of the hour. So, we're going to go to our break right now, and then we'll be back with more. It's Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Good morning, and welcome to a chilly day here along the South Coast with your friends here at WBSM.
Sitting on a dock of the beach.
1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM, the Tim Weisberg Show. Paul Santos, happy to be filling in this morning. Welcome into the show. Got a couple of ideas on the docket as far as what to talk about today, but I'm open to whatever is on your mind as well. 508-996-0500. Coming up on News Time in just a few moments, and then I'm going to tell you about something I saw the other day. This was in the news, but I just happened to be in court the other day. Just happened to be there. And I ran into a couple of familiar faces, and there was a local court case that got resolved. Just wondering what folks thought about that. There were two people that are well-known in the community that were involved in a court case. The court case ended up being resolved. And the issue is, you know, at what point is freedom of speech and your ability to express yourself cross the line where you are really interfering with somebody else's right not to be bothered or harassed? Because you have a right to speak your mind. You have a right to say what you want to say. You should not be canceled for saying what you want to say. But the point does come where if you say something and you either defame someone or you harass that person, then a line is crossed or a line is reached where you say, okay, you can't go too far with your freedom of speech. So we're going to talk a little bit about that after the top of the hour news. Did want to remind you that tomorrow it's the tree lighting in downtown New Bedford. Always a lot of fun. The recommendation is if you want to watch the tree lighting, it is at around 4:30 is the arrival time. 6 o'clock is actually the tree lighting. And if you want to go down and see it, it's a good idea to get down there around 4:30. It's the lighting and holiday parade. So there's a parade. You can get together, put on that winter coat and hat, maybe bring some hot chocolate down there. And then off you go down to downtown New Bedford. This is a great tradition that New Bedford carries on. Parade starts at 5 o'clock. Tree lighting follows at approximately 6 p.m. Get down there at about 4:30. You should be good. There are plenty of good spots along the parade route. And one of the things that the city is doing to help along is no parking meters. The parking meters will not be enforced during the event. And you can use the Elm Street Garage and the Zeiterion parking garages if you want to go down there. Visitors can also use the restrooms at the New Bedford Public Library, which is open until 6 p.m. So not a bad deal. A little on the chilly side, but a good chance to enjoy an event with family and friends in downtown New Bedford. A little on the chilly side, but again, just wear the gloves, wear the stocking hat. I've been to it before. It's pretty good. It's a fun time.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.